Slide, did I put them up? No, I did not. Sorry. No, we're not going to be in Revelation tonight. I didn't have enough time this week to study for all of that. So I read through it a little bit, but I just ran out of time. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1. We're going to have, I guess this is the title. Amber, if you want to put a title in there somewhere, and I'll give you the slides maybe later on. It won't make any difference. But there was like 19 of them. So just two, I think. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? So I began investigating the word in the New Testament, cometh, came, come, those types of phrases, and associated with Jesus, where he talked about him coming, and I found some interesting verses. So why did Jesus come? Matthew chapter 1, there have been many arguments for and against the virgin birth of Christ. And boy, if you read anything on the internet in particular, you'll hear all kinds of different theories and all of that. But here's the truth. If there is no virgin birth, if there is no incarnation where God became man, there's no salvation. That miracle had to happen in order for you and I to be saved. If that didn't happen, then let's toss it all away and go home, because it means nothing. But it did happen because the Word of God says so. And it is proven in the lives that have been changed. But why did he come? There have been a lot of articles written, and I read them, about the nature, the type of swaddling clothes and what they mean and all of that. I have seen all of the pictures that have been drawn of the manger. There have been thousands of sermons that have been preached concerning why there was no room in the inn. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? I guess that's a question that only the Bible can answer. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to walk through our Bibles a little bit. So you need to have your Bibles ready. We're going to walk through some things. I'm just going to read some verses, make some comments possibly, and all that. So if you're writing, taking notes, number one, point number one is this. Only the Bible can answer the question with authority. I know that's a long one. That's the reason why it probably wouldn't have fit on one slide. But only the Bible can answer with authority why Jesus came. Only the Bible. Matthew 1. So let's start here. Matthew 1, verse number 21. You say, why did Jesus come? I believe probably the ultimate reason is this. He came to save people from their sins. Verse number 21 says this. And she shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All right, so why did Jesus come? So we have Matthew 1, verse number 21. Go with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. I said, we'll just walk through. I only have about six or eight of these. And then I have point number two, and I have about four or five under that. So we'll just kind of meander through the Word of God some. What Brother Chan McMillan called it, he says, every once in a while, you just need to graze on the Word of God. Just kind of graze through it a little bit. So why did he come? He came, first of all, to save people from their sins. Notice what he says in Matthew 5 and verse number 17. Matthew 5 and verse number 17. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. He says, I didn't come to do away with the law. I didn't come to do away with the prophets, Matthew 5, 17. But he says this, I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Many people today, they think that Jesus has come and he's going to destroy. He's going to suck all of the fun out of their lives. He's going to take away everything that they ever loved. But the truth of the matter is, he'll replace that which they love now with something far greater. That thing that they think they just can't live without, that sin, that worldly amusement, God can replace that with something far greater. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I couldn't imagine sitting down and reading my Bible and enjoying it. Before I got saved, I couldn't imagine singing on a Sunday night with just a handful of people Christmas songs and enjoying it. I couldn't. But you know what? Jesus came. He didn't come to destroy. He came to fulfill. And by that, he means that he came to fulfill every promise, every prophecy in the Word of God. And those things prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Why did Jesus come? He came to fulfill the prophecies that were spoken about him. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 13. Matthew 9 and verse number 13. He's talking to a group here, and the Pharisee or a couple of them, and what they're accusing him of is eating with publicans and sinners, tax collectors and lost people. And as they're accusing him of these things, notice, in each one of these verses, I chose a phrase where Christ says something about coming. He has come for this reason. Matthew 9 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Notice what he says next. "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You cannot get saved until you realize that you're lost. That makes sense? You cannot get saved until you realize that you're lost. Self-righteous people, those that believe that they can keep the law on their own, that they can do enough good works to get them into heaven, they're good people here. But they're going to die and go to hell. Here's one of the sad things that I see as I view my world today. You know there are going to be a lot of good people in hell. You know there are going to be a lot of honorable people in hell. A lot of people that are moral, upstanding citizens that are just good, kind, loving people. But that part of their nature, they just believe they're good. And they don't need a Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I came to a point where I realized I was no good. And I needed a Savior. Why did Jesus come? Look right here. He says in this verse, he says, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but I'm come to call sinners to repentance." I'm like the Apostle Paul. I identify with that. I am the chiefest of those. Amen. So why did Jesus come? The authority of the Word of God says he came to save people. He came to fulfill the law. He came to call sinners to repentance. Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Some of you are thinking, man, we already got four of them in Matthew, and there's a bunch of other books in the New Testament. Amen. Don't worry. I'm only going through the Gospels. All right. We're only going to get about 10 or 12 in each Gospel. All right. And then we'll stop. Brother Wendell, he likes it whenever I use a lot of different verses. Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. Notice what he says here in verse number, let's pick it up about verse number 34. Verse number 34. Actually, we'll do both of these, 34 and 35. We'll put both of them together. But he says in verse number 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Well, you know, there's a whole bunch, a whole group of people, they need to get that. Can I tell you something? Maybe we conservatives here in America need to get that. He didn't come to send us governmental peace. He didn't come to send us economic peace or tax cuts or any of the rest of those things. God's agenda, and I got to say this to me more than any of y'all. God's agenda is bigger than America. It's bigger than Donald Trump winning the election or Joe Biden stealing the election. By the way, Sleepy Joe didn't steal the election. He's not smart enough to do that. He's just a dupe that happened to be there whenever it happened. But God's agenda is bigger than that. God's agenda covers eternity. And if you think about the history of the world, about 10,000 years so far, from the time of creation till now, modern history even, you go the last couple thousand years. America's been here, what, 250 years? Just a blip on the radar with all of the other kingdoms and all of the other great empires, all of the other great nations. And one time, Britain ruled the world. Rome ruled the world. There was a time whenever we may look back in our lifetime when America was great. But God's agenda is bigger than this. And we've got to tell ourselves that. We've got to come to the place where, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. 2020 is a year of unknown. It really is. It's a year of sudden change. It's a year that really we have nothing to compare with. But you know, there are Christians in 2020 that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. We've seen it in Sudan. We've seen it in Nigeria. We've seen it in several other nations around the world. They could tell you that peace, political peace, is not always part of God's agenda. But peace in our hearts is. So when did He come? He came not to send peace, but a sword. He says, look, I have a bigger cause. Verse number 35 says, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means that God wants us to love Jesus more than anything else. Not so that we hate our parents or hate our loved ones, but what He wants us to do is to love Jesus more than anyone else. Why did Jesus come? He came to save people. He came to help us to realize His agenda is bigger than our agenda. John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to jump all the way over to John. I'm sure there are others in other places, but they didn't come up in my search. Well, some of them did. Whenever I did a search for these words and this phrase, as I was thinking about this thought, it came up with over 1,200 instances of it. And I thought, I really need to trim that down a little bit, because I just don't think we'll be able to go through all of those on a Sunday night. That would be a rather lengthy series for us. 1,200 would probably be at least a 2 or 3 week message. Amen? Yeah, amen. That's right. Yeah. But many of them are repeats, to be honest with you. So what we're trying to do is try to choose the ones that give the best idea of it. What did I tell you? John 6. Did I tell you that? John 6. Okay. John 6. We're going to be in verse number 38. So what I did is this. Why did Jesus come? Only the Bible can answer with authority why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. You can have all these opinions. Well, He came to demonstrate this. He came... Well, we're reading the Bible tonight why He came. He came to save people from sins. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He came to call those sinners to repentance. He says, I didn't necessarily come to send peace on the earth. I came to give you peace in the midst of trouble. He says in verse number 38, notice what He says, the reason why He came. He says, for I came down from heaven. By the way, that's a great truth right there. I came down from heaven. You know what He's saying? The Son of God became the Son of Man. I came down from heaven. Notice this. Not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, listen, this is not just some whim that I thought up on my own. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son all got together and decided this is how mankind needed to be redeemed. He said, I came to do my Father's will. You know what He's saying? My Father, whenever I talk about my love for you, I'm talking about my Father's love for you. God is not a God of hate. God is a God of love. But He's also a God of justice and mercy. But He says, I came to do my Father's will. I didn't come to do my will. I came to do my Father's will. You know, if Jesus came to do His Father's will, don't you think it's important that you and I would do His will instead of ours? John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Don't worry, I only have about 3 more in this section. John chapter 9. John 9. I'm not going to go through the whole New Testament. Not even go through the whole book of John. But I do want to touch on a couple places. John 9. Now, once again, he's dealing with the Pharisees. He's dealing with the religious people. Dealing with those that do not know him. Not necessarily sinners that are seeking. He's talking to sinners that are somewhat hardened in their ways, religious people, if you will, that are trusting in their works, trusting in their religion more than looking for truth. May we always look for truth. Jesus said, verse number 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." I don't know about you, but I was blind. But now I see. Then he goes on, "And that they which see might be made blind." He's dealing with spiritual issues. He says, look, I'm coming to lead those that are blind, those that know that they're lost, those that have no sight, those that have no hope. I'm come to save their souls. I'm come to let them see the light. I've also come to those that think they see, that think they're good enough, to think they're religious enough. I've come so they realize that really they're blind. Really, they need the same salvation. Why did Jesus come? He says, "I came to bring judgment. I came so that the blind may see." John chapter 10. John 10, only the Bible with authority can tell us why Jesus came. John 10 and verse number 10. Of course, he's talking about being the door. And then in verse number 10, he says, "A thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Who's the thief? The devil is. The devil's the greatest thief. But then notice, "I am" what? "Come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Why did Jesus come? For abundant life. To give abundant life. John chapter 12. John 12. I only have two more. This one and one more here. John 12 and verse number, let's begin verse number 44. John 12, verse number 44. The Bible says, "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." He's saying, listen, I and the Father are one. And in verse number 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Wow. Have you ever watched something? Have you ever read something? Have you ever viewed something and you thought, that's just not right? Something about that. You know what that is? That's the light within you that's shining on that darkness and saying, that's not right. Jesus said, "I came to be a light. I came to give light to those that are in darkness." By the way, many of these things that I've read tonight start with the little phrase, "I am." Just like in the Old Testament. "I am." Every one of these. Jesus, and I can imagine these words flowing out of the mouth of Christ. I got an idea that every time he said something like that, "I am come," that the Pharisees and all cringed. Because he said those two words, "I am," with such authority that they knew in their heart there was something about that. That's hopsonology, by the way. Every time he used it, "I am," it's almost like I can just hear him thundering that out. "I am come," with the same ringing authority that God gave Moses. Whenever Moses said, "Lord, who am I going to say?" God says, "I am that I am." And so I just get that sense. So I'm sorry, when I read those phrases in the Bible, when I read Jesus saying that, I just imagine in my mind's eye that those old Pharisees, every time he used that phrase, they're like taken back a little bit. And the Christians are drawn to him, thinking, wow, he's God. He's God. I am come so that I can be a light in the world. And then last one in John 18. John 18. I'm telling you, there are probably others, but I just kind of narrowed it down to a few. Why did Jesus come? John 18, he's answering Pilate now. He's really about to be scourged. He's about to finish his earthly utterances. Verse number 37, Pilate is questioning him. And verse number 37, Pilate, therefore, John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You say, why did he come? Because he's king. Why did he come? To bear truth. Okay? So, question number one, or statement number one, is this. Only the Bible with authority can answer the question, why Jesus came. Statement number two. Amber, ready? Jesus Christ invites us to come to Him. See, it's one thing for us to know why Jesus came. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He came to bring light. He came to set men at variance, or to challenge men to proclaim Him above all others. He came to be a light. He came to be king. He came to be truth. But then He says, now I invite you to come to me. Go with me to Matthew 11. In fact, yeah, go to Matthew 11. Most of us know it, but let's read it anyways. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Matthew 11, verse number 28. I love reading about why Jesus came. One of the things that I really enjoy about the Word of God is whenever Jesus gives an invitation for me to come to Him. That shows His compassion. We just read about His deity and His power. But now this right here tells us about His compassion. Verse number 28, notice what He says. Come unto me. Jesus invites us to come unto Him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what Jesus does? He invites us to come unto Him. Luke 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke 14. Luke 14. Luke 14, and verse number 17. This is really a parable, but I like the phrase in here, so I put it in. Luke 14, verse number 17. Luke 14, verse number 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I don't know about you, but I almost can hear that. I can almost hear him say, come, it's ready. I see it being prepared right before me. I see all of the blocks being lined up. I see all the things happen. Come. It's ready. You know what Jesus invites us to do? Come unto Him. Because He is ready. It is prepared. He is prepared for us. John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 6. Jesus invites us to come to Him. John 6. And verse number 35. John 6. And verse number 35. This is another one of those places where He uses the phrase, I am. Notice, Jesus said unto them, I am. the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know what Jesus invites us to do? Come, and we'll never be hungry. You know, we hunger often for the things of the world. We hunger oftentimes for recognition, for popularity. We hunger. But Jesus says, if you're hungry, come to me. I am the bread of life. Same chapter, verse number 37. Same chapter, verse number 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what he does? He invites us to come. Oh, you say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've turned my back on God. I've not believed. Here's what he says. If you come to him, he'll not cast you out. Just come. And you don't have to come and keep the commandments. You're not to come and make yourself better. You're not to come and clean yourself up. You just come. He didn't cast you out. You know what he's saying here? I can save anybody. I can love anybody. I can forgive any sin. Two more. Let's move past the Gospels to Hebrews. Let's go all the way to Hebrews. It's right after the book of Psalms. Nobody got it. Hebrews 7. Some of you are like, oh, Hebrews are after Psalms? Really? Yeah. Hebrews 7. Okay. It took a little while. You guys are numb here. No, dumb here. So you're numb there. Amen. All right. numb, dumb. That's all happens. Jesus invites us to come. Verse number 725. Hebrews 7:25. I've been saved to the uttermost. Hebrews 7, verse number 25. There's two thoughts in here. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He's able to save us to the uttermost. And then notice the rest of it. Seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Come unto him. Come. Last one. Revelation. Revelation. All the way. Last book. Last chapter. 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. All the way at the end of the book, the invitation is still, come. 22:17. Revelation 22:17. Don't close your Bibles. I have one more verse after this one. Revelation 22, verse number 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Christmas story concerns so much more than a star in the east, a babe in a manger, shepherds on a hillside. It's about the Son of God becoming man. What is Christmas all about? I read this, and I thought I'll put it in here for tonight. Christmas is more than tinsel and toys, trees. It's more than gifts and greetings. It's not merely a word of goodwill lightly spoken and soon forgotten in the raucous cries of conflict. Christmas is a message of peace on earth among men who are pleasing to God. It is Emmanuel. God with us. It is God bending low to lift up men out of sin and the mire of a world which has forgotten God and His will for lost men. It is God in a cradle the eternal in the tender baby's flesh and form. But Christmas does not stop in Bethlehem. It reaches beyond the Calvary to the empty tomb, to the throne where the Savior sits, waiting for His enemies to become His footstool. It is the good news of salvation to all men who will receive it. As the shepherds came to the manger, saw the Christ child, went forth to tell glad tidings, as the wise men came from afar to worship and to give gifts to Him, so should the faithful today bow before Him in worship, praise, and consecration, and then go forth to declare the gospel to a lost world. That is what Christmas is about. Last verse, Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Christmas is a tremendous time. But oh, the first coming is all about pointing men to the second coming. May we share Jesus this Christmas season. Heads bowed, eyes closed.